Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat,
beat. We
get beat, beat. Beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Well, Jay Moore is not in, but we have wrangled an offensive lineman, an expert, a standout Husker, and Minnesota Viking, Jeremiah Searles, riding shotgun, or he can drive if he wants the keys. We are down here at Yowie's for March to Prize Madness. Hale Varsity Radio, ESPN 1480, and if you're out west or in central Nebraska, you're an affiliate, come on down. We invite you to Yowie's Lodge, March to Prize Madness gets rolling. Sweet 16 tips off tonight, and plenty of Bud Light specials. Draws $2.99, buckets for just $16 of Bud Light, 16-ounce buckets. So come on down. We're at Yowie's for March to Prize Madness. A lot of football to get into, plenty of Sweet 16 thoughts to get into, and we'll talk some Nebraska football. As always, Blair Kirchhoff, Kansas City Star, he is at the Sprint Center getting ready for the Sweet 16. Blair Kirchhoff with us in about 20 minutes. Brandon Vogel next hour. I welcome in our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles. Jay, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Always fun to be back. Always fun to come down. This is my first time doing it outside the studio, so I'm really pumped to come down here to Yowie's and just kind of hang out.
So here's the thing. I was worried because when we were doing our test stuff, I won't bore anybody. The bottom line is there's an echo that can happen. Searles was going to go Hulk mode on the bar in here because you just kept hearing,
I mentally cannot handle
the
when
echo.
I speak.
It was like Goonies.
And then I try and keep speaking, and I can hear what I just said, and my brain, I get hit
TJ
too. I get hit way too hard to be able to handle
I know, and TJ got it fixed, but it was like the scene in Goonies where Sloth yells and echo. I mean, so, and you were
it's like from when the Grinch stole Christmas. Like, I asked you first, and back and forth.
That's what
back
it was. And you were going to break walls and go nuts.
But wasn't happening.
We got it fixed.
Thanks,
CJ. It's all good. Yeah. So we're good. We're down here. We want you to sign up for March to Prize Madness with ESPN. And what that means is goodies. Of course, the giveaway, the grand prize giveaway going on the 3rd of April with the national title game. But make your way down here and get signed up for that 55-inch LG TV barbecue for a year, also up for grabs with Oklahoma Joe's.
And I'm not eligible, right?
No, Searles,
I was just going to fill out all these cards sitting here in front of me.
People walk in here and sign up and put their name in, and they're stared down by you.
Well, it's because I'm taking the television home.
No, you're staring at them. They're a bit afraid. It's funny. Oklahoma Joe's, and, of course, plenty of goodies from Overhead Garage Door Opener, Slim Chickens, Larry the Cable Guy, and Tosh tickets you can win, plus gift cards to Single Barrel as well. Iowa Russ tweets in that does that make me chunk?
Oh my god!
If you're slow,
it might.
That's not very nice.
Yeah, we'll get over it.
We will try to
sticks
get over
and stones.
It. Right, Iowa Russ off the top rope. Okay, Searles, what do you know? What have you been up to, man?
Man, I've just been. It's been crazy busy. I mean, off season is such a fun time, but it's so much traveling because you got to make it and see. I mean, last weekend I was in Colorado to see my parents. This weekend got a bachelor party for my buddy Jake Long, and then I go to California to see the wife and her parents. And then we come back.
The wife
and we got a wedding.
Cali?
Yep, she left yesterday. She left yesterday with the dog. He's an emotional support animal, so he gets to fly and puts his little vest on, and he just kind of gets to wander through the airport. Yeah, it's a production. I don't like flying with them because then it's like, why does she need the dog and the giant?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I need a little vest, too, when I fly, apparently.
Nice work, the emotional support. That's an angle we're going to go with Roz to take her into places. Okay, so you've been everywhere.
Yep.
You're back here. Practice will get resumed next week for Nebraska football. And let's start off with the topic du jour, and that's the chase for the offer for an 2018 quarterback. And we were kind of talking about this yesterday, just the fact that Nebraska is not limiting themselves to a type. You know the labels.
Yep.
You got the pro style, you got the dual threat, and all you guys care about protecting is guys that can get it done for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I read up a little bit on this guy. He seems like he can do a little bit of it all, but I like that Mike Riley's not
talking Yankoff, the kid that chose Washington.
Yes, that chose Washington. I was reading on Yankoff, and I like that Mike Riley's not going strictly like, I want a guy that's going to do three steps in the back pocket and get rid of the ball. Like, you got to have in college football, if you're one-dimensional like that, it's hard to win unless you got a true all 11 guys on the field or a pro-style offense, and Riley doesn't have that yet. And I don't know if that's what he's going to go for. I don't know if that's the way Langsdorf.
It's what you got right now working with your spring.
With Tanner and O'Brien and those guys. And so I think that they saw this last year what you can do when you have a dual threat guy back there like Tommy. I mean, Tommy was able to escape, make things happen with his feet, but they're just looking for a guy that can have the escapability and do the stuff that Tommy did, but also have that passer aspect that he will sit at 9 yards, step up to 7, and deliver the ball on time.
It's about the accuracy. It's about the ability to escape. And listen, you want it all, but you can't always have it all at quarterback. And just watching some of the film with Yankoff, he's a kid out of Idaho. I'm wondering if he's, like, firm with Washington, okay? Because the kid is – it was Cal and TCU, and then it was Nebraska, and then Washington made their offer. A lot of teams have offered him. And watching his film, he looked incredible. And, again, it's high school film, but the way the kid was mobile, he reminded me, dare I say, of your buddy Taylor Martinez when it came to the running.
Okay, so hopefully not the throwing.
No. When it came to the running, he would find a seam, and I don't know if he's as fast as T-Magic, but he would – he was a big play guy on offense running the ball. But the way he was able to roll out, be accurate, intermediate, short, and then long, it was a lot of fun to watch. So I could see why Nebraska was all over him. They were early in on him. Langsdorf's got a great set of eyes for quarterbacks, obviously. So Nebraska's going to have to move on. But we'll see. Here's my next question on this kid. Okay, he's committed to Washington. How solid's that commit? Washington's got a five-star pro-style quarterback because that's what they are now. That's what they ran last year.
Yep.
You still got Browning up there for another year with a five-star coming in with you. All Nebraska really wants to do is find one kid to offer a quarterback per class because you have Tanner here, you have Patrick O'Brien here, you have Jebbia here. You're doing well with your quarterback setup, but you always got to keep that cupboard stocked. So I look at it. If you're Nebraska, do you kind of stay on this kid's radar? Do you stay in touch, or do you just kind of break up?
I don't know if you necessarily just wash your hands completely of the kid. I think what you do is you pull the reins back, and you say, okay, this kid's picked Washington, but he's also decommitted before. And I think a lot of it just comes down to how much do we still want to pressure this kid as far as like, hey, you can always – I mean, it's the grass is always greener effect. Hey, come over here.
Sure,
we're
sure.
Better over here. But I also think that –
you're only – come on now. You're 300 miles away from home. Get a little further away. Have a hell of a good time.
I'm hoping – I mean, from what I've read, it sounds like he kind of wants to stay West Coast, Pac-12. I mean, from that – but, I mean, I think sometimes you can use the Midwest appeal and the Big Ten appeal of, hey, we're the best conference in college football. I mean – last year they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a huge thing. But I also think part of the problem is sometimes you get these quarterbacks that want to come in, but they want to play right away. And I worry that sometimes these kids, like, that's what they're feeding them at Washington. Or I don't know what Langsdorf tells these kids, but, I mean, it's happened a few times, even when I was here, Johnny Stanton, A.J. Bush. These kids come in, and there's guys ahead of them, and they immediately think, well, I don't want to ride the bench. I want to be a four-year starter. I mean, every quarterback thinks I want to be a four-year starter, get drafted. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Look at the North Carolina kid, for example. He's the number one quarterback on the board for the NFL, played one season. I mean, sometimes it's not a bad thing to sit back and learn. So I hope
don't put that many miles on you.
Exactly. And so I'm hoping this kid's not thinking, well, if I go to Nebraska, I got to sit, so then I don't want to go there. Because it doesn't matter where
Washington
he goes.
Was in the college
he's going to have to sit. Like, I hope he's – I mean, and so I hope he's not like that. But I see it more and more nowadays with these quarterbacks coming out that if it's not a I'm coming in right away type of thing, they don't want to come. And so maybe he sees O'Brien, he sees Tanner, and he's thinking, maybe I should go somewhere else. But that's everywhere you go.
Here's my question, too, is – give yourself more than one swing at the plate. Meaning, if you don't win the job as a true 17 or 18-year-old, because it doesn't happen, if you have to redshirt, and your coaches are on your side with, okay, you didn't win it, You need a year to grow. You need a year to develop. Go challenge for it next year. Even if you don't win it in your second year, mm-hmm. but there's still a competition for you to do it. Stick and stay. I mean, you're a redshirt sophomore, worst case scenario, 3 years in a program, and go win a quarterback job. More times than not, and I'm thinking of Alabama here because they go get the five-star pro style typically, and now you have Hurts.
Yep.
Washington's been very good at their quarterback selection. When Harbaugh was at Stanford, I think of Andrew Luck. I think of the pro style guys that they go get, and by year two or three, a guy can win the job. Don't limit yourself if you don't get it done in your first 2 years to hit the road and think the grass is greener. If the coaches haven't punted on you,
yeah,
then there's still an opportunity for you to do it. Someone will eventually graduate, or you got to be ready if there's injury.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes playing young is not good for you as a career guy. Sometimes when you get thrown into the fire like that or you walk out there, I mean, you're playing against men at some, I mean, 22, 23-year-old men at points. And if you're a 17, 18-year-old kid, it's not always the best thing for you to go out there, and the game is fast, and the game, and you can, I mean, quarterback's such a confidence position that if you go out there at a young age, Cody Green, one of my best friends to this day, I mean, everyone was calling for Zach Lee's head, right? Cody Green. Cody Green out there had some success, had some struggles, and then as soon as he had some struggles, oh, he's not what we thought he was, and then the fan base can turn on you. And I mean, and this place, like I said, the fan base here is fantastic, but sometimes it's so much on you, and you're 17, kid from Idaho, comes to Nebraska, and he immediately has the attention and all eyes of all million people in this state that – sometimes it's too much, and sometimes kids can crumble under that. And so I think that's why it's good. Let kids develop for a couple of years so they can go out there and they've been around the culture, they've been around what it is, and then they can shoulder that responsibility.
So if you're a dual-threat guy and Yankoff is, and Nebraska wants one of you in the quarterback room on the roster, is there lack of faith that you can do that? And I'm devil's advocate here because Riley and Langsdorf are known for putting guys in the league and taking care of pro style guys. Is the jury out if you're a dual threat quarterback on what this offense can do for you after 1 year of watching Tommy? I look at it and say, all right, they had 2 years with Tommy. Year one, they kind of let him do his thing. Year two, they dialed it back and used his legs. He ended up getting dinged. The O-line got dinged. But when he was healthy and the O-line was okay, they played good football.
Yep.
Have you seen enough, if you're a dual-threat quarterback, to say, okay, I do believe that you can kind of hybrid or mesh this pro style and this dual threat after 2 years with Langsdorf and Riley?
Absolutely. The way I think is that if you're a dual-threat guy, you can't coach athleticism and speed and quickness and just all out just being a baller. You'd mean playmaker. You can't coach that. You can coach mechanics. You can coach how to throw the ball. You can coach where the ball needs to go. Those are all things that you can learn over time. So if you're a pro-style/dual-threat guy, you think, okay, I've got the legs. I've got the ability to be able to do this. Let me go learn how to throw the ball. Let me go learn
how to do it. Because the reads part is the biggest roll of the dice to me when you bring in that athlete at quarterback. Are you getting a guy that's a thrower first and can run, or you're getting an athlete back there that you're asking to chuck it 15 times?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a guy back there that's going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-step drop. Oh, first option's not open. Put his head down and run. Or is it going to be a guy that's going to set progression, first, second, third, now I run? And that's the difference between a true pro-style quarterback and a guy, an athlete. And so if you can be an athlete and learn how to play the pro-style system, that's where you see guys like Andrew Luck. I mean, everyone thinks, oh, Andrew Luck, this true pro-style quarterback. The dude can run.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
That's who I would like, dream, right? But that's why. That's how I'd lasso and say, give me that guy that can go get me 17, and he's a 4'6", 4'7", but he's not getting hit. Russell Wilson, 7 carries in a zone read scheme for Seattle at your guys' level. I mean, that's where it's sprinkled in. Kaepernick before the Giant contract.
Yeah, Cam Newton in his MVP year.
Yeah.
I mean, you're starting to get these athletes that have learned how to play the quarterback position. And the quarterback position is such a mental game that if you can be an athlete and be able to run the ball, get yourself out of bad situations, I mean, it helps you in coverage because you got guys now that got to pay attention to you because they're worried you're going to put your head down and run, because as soon as you bail in coverage, they might see a complete open field and just go
wide.
And so, I mean, it helps you in the passing game because you've got the Mike linebacker. Instead of sitting at 5 yards, in like 6 yards, he might be sitting back at 8 spying you, and you can get that extra step. And so, I mean, I think that that's what the quarterback position is transforming into is these athletes that are now learning how to play quarterback. And like you said, Riley Langsdorf have great resumes when it comes to building quarterbacks.
I just, you know, just get me, and this is so obvious, but get me more Watson types with Clemson, because that kid was a thrower first.
Yep.
And people think about his legs, think about his athleticism, but he can throw it, he can read a progression and get the ball out of there. And that's the biggest challenge is if you're coming, because you need to be able to do progressions in Langsdorf's system. And do you trust the pocket? Do you trust your legs? We'll get more to the quarterback. We're at Yowie's for March, the prize madness. We want to see you down here. 8th and Q is Hail Varsity Radio on the road today. Chris Schmidt and Minnesota Viking and Husker standout Jeremiah Searles co-hosting today. Greg and Nick are down here from Gregeth and Smith. They're hydrating. God love you. Bud Light specials going on as we invite you down. And there we go, TJ. He's waiting on the music. Exit stage left. So Bud Light specials, your chance. March to Prize Madness. 8th and Q. We're down here. Get signed up for that 55-inch LG smart TV. Also, barbecue for a year. Oklahoma Joe's Bud Light specials going on. We're down here for the Sweet 16. March to Prize Madness. Hail Varsity Radio continues. Blair Kirchhoff up next.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Bird is out. Jeremiah Searles, Minnesota Viking and Husker standout, is in. We are at Yowie's 8th and Q in the Haymarket. As we invite you down, March to Prize Madness, we head to Kansas City, getting ready to cover the Sweet 16 down at the Sprint Center. We welcome in Blair Kirchhoff, Kansas City star, at Blair Kirchhoff on Twitter. Blair, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Doing great. Hope you are, too.
We're doing well. So can you describe the atmosphere down and around where you're at? And basically it's Lawrence East, I would assume.
Yeah, it's going to end up being that way tonight, that's for sure. It wouldn't have been completely that way if Iowa State had beaten Purdue last Saturday night. If had that been the case, the Cyclones fans would have motored down I-35 in mass and would have turned this into an incredible atmosphere. As it is, it's going to it was still the hottest ticket of the four regionals, and it's that way because Kansas is only 40 miles away, and their fans have snapped up every available ticket to this thing. I suspect the building will be 70-75% Kansas fans for the game. Michigan travels well, and I know Michigan will be well represented here, but it is absolutely a Kansas-centric building.
Blair, let's talk a little bit about Purdue. What are your thoughts on the Boilers post Iowa State, and how good a chance do you give Purdue tonight? They're playing outstanding ball. Kansas looked phenomenal though too against Sparty.
Yeah, I'm a big Purdue guy. I think it's a matchup problem for Kansas. I mean, there are some matchup problems for the Jayhawks here with the. Anytime Caleb Swanigan is on the floor, that's a matchup problem. He's one of the great rebounders in college basketball, and he sits 43% on his three. That's almost unfair. And so Kansas is going to have to figure out a way to limit him and not let him go crazy on the Jayhawks. Haas is the 7'2" kid who really creates problems for Kansas when he's on the floor. This is not a big Kansas team. Landon Lucas is 6'10". He stands in the middle, and he's a really good rebounder. He's not much of a scorer, but he is what he is. He's a kind of a lunch pail 6'10" guy. And after that, it's basically four guards. Josh Jackson is the freshman, who's fantastic, 6'8". Steve Mikhailuk, Devontae Graham, and Frank Mason. That's how Kansas, they're most effective with that lineup. But either Purdue might have to play smaller or Kansas is going to have to play a little bigger, I think. We'll see whose will wins out in this game. But one thing that strikes me about it is you got the regular season champion of the Big Ten playing the regular season champion of the Big 12, and both of these schools won their conferences by multiple games. to me, this is the kind of game you might see in the Final Four, and we're getting it in the Sweet 16.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to watch that game. What do you think is going to be the absolute X factor tonight for that game? I mean, is there one player that you think is going to have to play out of his mind, or is there one player that's going to have to really step up on either squad in order to help that team win?
Yeah, even though we're talking about a game in which both stars, and I'm talking about Frank Mason for Kansas and Swanigan for Purdue, are probably going to win all of the National Player of the Year awards that'll be announced here in the next week or so. I think that the X factor in this game is Josh Jackson, the Kansas freshman. You know, Kansas has had great teams over the years. They've been a number one seed, I think, 7 of the last 11 years. But this team is a little different than the others because they have a player like Josh Jackson, who is a surefire pro, a guy who he may not be as talented in college as Andrew Wiggins was a few years ago, but he's got a much different approach to the game. He's an aggressive player. He will not back down. He looks for his shots. He's good going to the basket and good from behind the three-point arc. I think he is a real matchup problem for anybody. And so while Swanigan and Mason will probably put up their All-American-type numbers, I think Josh Jackson's the one that's really going to have to come play tonight. And if he does, like he did against Michigan State last Sunday, I think this game falls in Kansas' favor.
Mark Kirkhoff, a few minutes with us. He's down in Kansas City with the Kansas City Star. Obviously, you've heard Blair on before, but covering NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 down in Kansas City, the Midwest region. Michigan in Oregon. Oregon found a way. They were gritty towards the end, and the Wolverines and Coach Beilein just keep doing their thing. They found a way to beat a really solid team in Louisville, despite the three ball not dropping for him. What intrigues you about Michigan most? Is it the fact they showed a different style and won with it? Is it their three-point ability? Is it Walton? I mean, of those three, what are you excited to see tonight?
Well, Walton is certainly, he's having a great run here, MVP of the Big Ten tournament, and what an incredible run that was for the way it started for Michigan with the plane running off the runway and then going to D.C. and winning those four games and beating good teams along the way, starting with Purdue and then going to the regional and outlasting Oklahoma State by going crazy from behind the arc. I think they were 16-29 on three pointers. And then they're down 9 to Louisville in the second half in Indianapolis, mind you. You know, not too far from Louisville. I'm sure it was a very much a Cardinal Red atmosphere there, and being able to put that come all the way back and put that game away in the last minute or so. I've been really, really impressed with Beilein's team this year. I think they've made a couple of adjustments late in the season, and they've just changed everything about that team. I'm very impressed with what Michigan has been doing. And on the Oregon side, Dana Altman must be, a coach that, we are so familiar with in our part of the country. I think one of the really underrated coaches in college basketball. And he's got this team, I don't know if peaking at the right, they're not peaking. And there's a concern for me with Oregon. They, losing Chris Boucher, their shot blocking presence, I think is a big, big loss for them. But in Dylan Brooks, they've got a guy in Tyler Dorsey, a guy who hit the game winner against Rhode Island last weekend. They've got a couple of guys that can take over a game. I mean, they got 20-point scores there. That's the issue for Michigan. I think it's going to be a close game, but I do like Michigan again.
I think Michigan's too hot right now, and I agree with you there. How about West Virginia? I mean, Huggy Bear is so good with who he recruits, his style, and the fact that they just can make your life miserable. You have no flow offensively.
Right.
Do you think they get it done against Gonzaga tonight? Do they have enough offense, and can their defense, kind of dictate how things are called?
That's a good question, because I think West Virginia may be the most difficult matchup in the tournament on a short turnaround. Because how in the world do you prepare for what West Virginia throws at you with one practice at a high school gym to get ready for it? And Notre Dame just looked silly last week trying to break the West Virginia press. I think if you've got 3 or 4 days to get ready for it, that's a different story. And And Gonzaga is going to, you know, with Nigel Williams-Goss and their backcourt, I think they've worked hard this week to get ready for what West Virginia can throw at them, and I think that ultimately puts Gonzaga over the top in this game. Now, if West Virginia manages to win, you know, look out on Saturday, whether it's Xavier or Arizona. They're almost impossible to try to defend on no notice. And but I think for Gonzaga, they might end up playing a little bit smaller. As much as they're big, defined by their bigs, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw them go put an extra guard on the floor just to, you know, just to help break that press.
Blair, got about 2 minutes here. And real quick on Arizona, the biggest Royals fan in Lincoln is a guy named Jay Bird, and he texts in and said, I needed you to talk about Arizona. So I play the hits, right? I do the request line. Arizona and Xavier, how are you feeling about that one?
Well, I just Xavier's the last double-digit seed left in the tournament. And I think for Arizona, the fact that Lauri Markkanen seemed to have, you know, he was in a slump late in the season, looked like maybe the freshman year had caught up with him, and then the tournament comes and he's back to where he was. He is such a talent that Markkanen, and funny, I saw his dad. I covered his dad when his dad played at Kansas almost 25, 26 years ago, Pekka Markkanen. So the guy is he's a wonderful talent. One of the, you know, he'll be a lottery pick in the draft. I think Arizona breezes through this game. I know Xavier was really impressive in beating Florida State, but I just think that's Chris Mack and getting his team ready where Leonard Hamilton didn't get his team ready. Sean Miller against his old team brought out the best in him a couple years ago. I think he does again. And I also believe in this. Arizona's been to the well quite often here the last few years and hasn't gotten to the Final Four. I think this is the year they get it done. I think it's a favorable draw, a good regional setup for them. I think Arizona wins two games in the Final Four.
I think they have the ability to. About 60 seconds, Blair. You've covered Frank Martin at Kansas State. Now you see what he's doing in South Carolina. Are you surprised?
Well, I maybe a little surprised that it took him this long. I mean, he got it up and going quicker than this at Kansas State. This is the NCAA tournament in his fifth year at South Carolina, but once he got there, you know, they had the great weekend. And what a signature, a program signature victory over Duke in the second round. That's the kind of thing that if you ever walk through a coach's office in the athletic department, those will have photographs of that game and the celebration all over the walls there. It'll be, I'm sure, on the media guide cover next year. But I'm sure they feel like they're not finished yet. I think they are. I think Baylor is a tough matchup for them. And Baylor reminds me a little bit of Purdue, the way they can go really big and bother a team that way. I know Sindarius Thornwell's been a great talent, but I think it kind of runs out for South Carolina this weekend. And Baylor gets it done on Friday night. And then I like Florida over Wisconsin in the other game. I just love the way the Gators are playing. So I think we got a Baylor-Florida matchup in the East Final.
That'll be outstanding. Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City Star. He'll be there at Sprint Center as he's getting ready for the Midwest Regional. And the Sweet 16 is certainly sweet. Read Blair, Kansas City Star, at Blair Kirkhoff on Twitter. Blair, we'll catch up again, man. Thanks for making a few minutes today.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
See ya. Blair Kirkhoff just slammed busy. And it's kind of him to give us a few minutes. Kind of you to come on down to Yowie's. A few folks making their way in. We invite you down. Bud Light Specials. March to Prize Madness is in full effect. Can get signed up for that 55-inch LG Smart TV. Also, you can win barbecue for a year, Oklahoma Joe's. We want to see you down here at Yowie's. 8th and Q in the Haymarket. Jeremiah Searles is navigating effortlessly. He is pointing and laughing in my bracket.
So sad.
Chris Schmidt, we want to see you down here. We're here till 6, but come on down beyond. Tip-off of the Sweet 16 gets going about 15 minutes after 6. We'll continue on Hour 1 on the way at Yowie's.
Everyone has regrets.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Your chance coming up. The keyword you need to listen for at 5 o'clock with the 125K Moneyball with ESPN. 5 o'clock. You hear that keyword, can text that keyword into 77000. Your chance at $1,000 with Moneyball and ESPN. Your chance to get some awesome Bud Light stuff and get down here for the Sweet 16. I know it's a Thursday, and I know that maybe Friday, Saturday is your weekend thing, but Sweet 16's tonight. That means Yowie's, that means TV's, that means food specials, and that means Bud Light specials. So come on down to Yowie's. Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles, Husker standout, Minnesota Viking, co-hosting today as we're at Yowie's 8th and Q. You're in the Haymarket. You're qualifying for some of the grand prizes and also some of the amazing concert and comedy tickets we have. So we invite you down to Yowie's. Searles, okay, you are a guy that did well in college academically, not just on the field. You're also pretty well versed in looking at a sporting event and saying, okay, here's what's going to happen. And you're pretty right. So I'm giving you credit now.
Oh, I'll take it.
You'll take it. Now, you're going to be wrong tonight, and no. I'm doing this with my heart, not my head. But I'm pulling for old West Virginia tonight. That way I can talk smack to you first because you have Gonzaga. And that way it gets me out of buying a steak and a beer for TJ because he has Gonzaga. The bracket thing is still alive. Many of you have already set your bracket on fire. I get that. You've maybe gotten a little creative with the remaining Sweet 16. And maybe you've gambled that way for fun, of course. Listen, what do you think tonight? You've got Oregon, Michigan. I hope that thing's like 120 to 115. It's going to be body punches between Kansas and Purdue. Purdue's got to ugly this thing up, mm-hmm. in my opinion, to keep up 70 or below. Carolina's later on. They play Butler tomorrow. Kentucky and UCLA is pretty sexy. I just want UCLA out so I can quit hearing about a father. And then I think Wisconsin keeps moving. And I like Arizona. I like Arizona to get to the Final Four. Duke was supposed to be there. They are not. But I think Wisconsin can be there. Can you adopt Wisconsin in anything?
Nothing. Zero. I mean, I hate all things Wisconsin, Green Bay. It's just, I can't do it.
Do you have, like, J.J. Watt?
No, don't even get me started on that guy. I mean, great player, give him that.
So you have the respect for him.
I have the respect on the field for him. The off-the-field stuff, it's got to stop. I mean, it's just...
Hold on a minute. What? The charity?
No, yeah, for sure, definitely. No. Everyone thinks that... I mean, I saw Hard Knocks. I get it. Everyone in the world was like, oh, he's such a great guy. He stays afterwards, signs all these autographs.
He has a teddy bear.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're in fall camp, dude. There's no way you had time to stay out there for 3 hours. Maybe for J.J. Watt status, you can do it. Me, on the other hand, not a chance.
I heard Reggie White, when he was like his final year with Carolina, instead of doing camp, he was inside watching cartoons.
Dude, there's some guys.
That's Reggie White.
There is some guys that can do that. And, I mean, J.J. Watt's probably on that level to where he can call his own shots a little bit. But, I mean, he's blown up into such... I don't know. I feel like people idolize the guy a little much. He's a great football player, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, people are like his little thing the other day where he's like, well, I couldn't lift it all, so I walked 12 miles a day. Like, dude, good for you. Like, congratulations. But, like, why do you got to go on air and be like, oh, yeah, I did this, I did that. Like, just play ball, be how it is, let it run through. I don't know. Not a big – and he's from Wisconsin. It makes it even worse.
And
his brother's from Wisconsin, which is here's my question to you. We had a little argument pre-show. If you have a house in the woods, is it considered a cabin? Because J.J. Watt has his cabin with the elevator and the pearls and the whole bit, and he calls it a cabin. It is a mansion.
How much, I mean, does his house look like the inside of Yowie's is my question.
Doubtful.
Because... Yowie's
maybe the full bar
is a lot. Well, yeah, I mean,
he probably has the full bar.
I don't know that he's got the bar and the TV setup that Yowie's has. But if he has like fish on the wall and there's, you know, Big Ben's head over there, that's a sad reference with the zoo. My fault. If there's a bear's head over there,
dude, I picture he just has like all his jerseys framed up around his house.
There's just
and
pictures.
He walks
there's
in,
just pictures
it's
of
just
him.
Just pictures of JJ and his jerseys. Every room he's like, oh, this is the 2008 room. This is when I did this in 2008. Let's go to the 2009
Shirtless.
Room. Yeah, and then you walk in and there's a bronze statue of him holding the axe or
he's
whatever.
Got, so you think he's got a statue in the back like OJ
of himself?
Yeah.
Absolutely, and maybe more than one.
Really?
Oh, it's a possibility.
So he's doing miniature bronze.
He might hand out like trophies of himself for when someone he knows does something well. A Watt trophy.
Maybe you should play quarterback for him. You can't touch that.
No, nope, can't touch that.
No, that's fine. That's
nope,
fine.
Nope.
Okay, so back to your question. If you have a home in the woods and there is any woodworking in the home, it is a cabin.
You call it a cabin, huh?
If there's woodwork.
Any woodwork at all.
Sure.
Even if it's just on the outside.
Yeah.
I can't agree with you on that one, but I will agree
to disagree
with you. I
haven't seen his house, though.
Okay.
He hasn't
invited
me over.
When we get a break, I'll show you his cabin.
Show me his
airport. I'll show you what a cabin looks like.
Who do you got? Yeah, Michigan or Oregon?
Oregon.
Okay, I'm going Michigan. I just think they'll stay hot. Give me West Virginia over Gonzaga.
I got Gonzaga win the whole thing, so I'm on the Gonzaga train hard.
Here's what could hose things: is if West Virginia, who typically likes to grab and clutch and do those things with their their suffocating full court, if they call this thing like patty cake, then West Virginia's in trouble.
Well, I think Blair.
What type of officials are you getting? And the officials have been so inconsistent so far.
I think Blair Cougar hit on the head. West Virginia is a hard team to have to quick turnaround prepare for. But Gonzaga's now had, what, 4 days? I believe 4 or 5 days to prepare to play for them. So they're going to have a plan coming into this game how to beat the press. I mean, they're going to have an idea, but I mean, all great plans until someone punches you in the face. So like you said,
everyone's got a plan.
If West Virginia comes out and literally punches these guys in the face and the refs let these guys play, it could get interesting. But if Gonzaga comes out and executes the plan that they have and they get it to their bigs inside, I think they have a good chance to win this game.
Yep, I think so. I think Arizona wins by 20. The line's 7.5.
Dude, I need Xavier to win.
Really?
I have them going to the Elite Eight, and I need it. I think they will. They were my upset team for the pick of the tournament just because they always seem to do well. And so I'm hoping they shock the world and beat Arizona. And when they do, I will call you and rub it in your face even more.
Ooh.
But that's just me.
All right, let's talk Pro Day. Tommy Armstrong, wide receiver.
He crushed it. So I got a chance to go and sit in Pro Day and watch these guys. I mean, Tommy had a great day. Sam Cotton had a great day. Brandon Riley ran a blazing
speed. Which was like, how about little bro? He was jacked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of us, we were watching Sam. I mean, the kid jumped out of the gym, 35.5-inch vertical at 250 pounds. 10-7 broad jump. I mean, his numbers were fantastic. And so now it's just a matter if these pro scouts can look at Sam and say, okay, he's an athlete, he can move, he can block, he can run, but does his film match the numbers? And that's what it's going to be with Tommy, too, is he's this great athlete, and all they've seen him do is run routes on air. They haven't seen him, can he press a guy, stem off the line, make a cut, get a separation? And so there's all this talk around Tommy as far as what he can be, what he can do. But it's a matter of finding the right fit for him. I mean, I think he can be a Braxton Miller type, but he's going to have to go somewhere, maybe practice squad a year, maybe get brought up for injuries, get a chance to try and prove himself. But he's going to have to do all his proving in OTAs and fall camp.
You've seen guys try and make that transition, and we'll spend next segment on this. It's got to be a true heartfelt transition, because once a guy's been quarterback forever, that's so hard to break that want. So, Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt, we're down here at Yowie's. March Surprise Madness. You're getting off work. Come on down. 8th and Q. We're down here in the Haymarket.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HALE to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you here at Yowie's, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 8th and Q, down here at Yowie's for March Surprise Madness. Your chance to catch some Sweet 16 games a little bit later on. Chris Schmidt and Viking and Husker Jeremiah Searles, Ryan co-host today. Good stuff. We spent some time, plenty of spring football. We'll dive into the State of Husker Nation poll is up on HaleVarsity.com. We want your voice, want your reaction and feedback. A great survey to check out, make you think. Also, we'll get into some fine points about what it takes to win the Big Ten and get to that championship game. Jay will spend some time with that. Brandon Vogel coming up. I want to remind you about Sauter Heyman, your friends with Sauter Heyman. Rick and the gang, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds, but they're grown in a lab instead of mined out of the earth. What's that mean for you? Well, they're eco-friendly. They're beautiful. They're sustainable. They're also 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. It means that you'll find some gorgeous, just 1,000% pure-grown diamonds, bestsellers, one of the bestsellers at Sauter Haven. And you're encouraged today to go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Haven, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island for pure-grown diamonds, SauterHaven.com. All right. Searles, we're talking Tommy and quarterback, and you've had a chance to catch up with him. How's he feeling with everything?
He's good. We actually went up, we went coyote hunting yesterday. Me and Tommy went up to
Columbus. How'd that work out for Wiley?
It was, Tommy got one. I didn't get anything, but it was fun just to get out there. And, like, it was good for both of us to kind of take a break. I mean, for him, pro day, rookie year is so hard because you go right from your season ending to training for pro day. Then as soon as pro day is over, you go right into, okay, now I got to stop being an athlete and go back to being a football player.
Right.
And so he's in that transition period now, and especially for a guy like him that needs to keep his quarterback position strong, needs to keep his receiving strong because he doesn't know what he's going to do. And so just chatting with him, he said, we have the same agent actually. And so chatting with my agent and chatting with Tommy, he's like, man, there's a lot of buzz, but it's just a lot of questions. A lot of what am I going to do? Where are they going to put me? Who's going to pick me up? And so I think he's really comfortable with his numbers that he put out, and I think he did everything he could to put himself in the best position. And now it's just a matter of finding the right fit.
What do you think? Like slot? Could he put some weight on? H-back?
No, I don't see him. I don't see him.
Being the reason I throw that out there is I think a Niles Paul.
I think it's like a Denard Robinson.
Okay.
From Michigan. He's the running back in Jacksonville now. I can see that. I think of Braxton Miller, Terrell Pryor types. I see him not being that outside receiver like Terrell Pryor because he's not as big.
Not as tall.
But I can see him being a Julian Edelman type.
Okay.
I mean, Julian Edelman, Hines Ward, all those guys were quarterbacks in college. And then they all made that conversion to that slot receiver. And it might take him a little bit of time to figure that out. But, I mean, look at those guys. Those guys are Hall of Fame guys. I mean, okay, Edelman maybe not, but Hines Ward definitely. And so if he can figure that all out, I think if he can find the right spot and the right coaching staff that wants to give him that opportunity, he'll be able to do it because he's a good enough competitor and definitely a good enough athlete to be in the NFL.
Did he kind of wow you what he did at Pro Day catching the ball?
Yeah, I mean, so I was sitting with Kenny Bell actually at Pro Day, and he goes, dude, Tommy catches everything. I go, really? He goes, dude, it's unbelievable. He's a quarterback that catches everything. And there's a couple balls that came high or that came in hot, and I don't think he dropped a single ball. And so I think that impressed a lot of people as well.
Well, we'll see how it shakes out for him. Hour two, we're at Yowie's here. March to Prize Madness, Hail Varsity Radio on the road. Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt. We'll get caught up. Brandon Vogel is on the way.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better
and better.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Well, Blackshirt Jay is not here, but I do have a Viking and Husker, Jeremiah Searles, riding shotgun today. Welcome back to an hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. We're down here at Yowie's March to Prize Madness with ESPN. We invite you down. Sweet 16 is an hour in 5 minutes away. The countdown begins. So food and drink specials, plenty of Bud Light goodies going on here at Yowie's. That 55-inch HD smart TV, you can get registered for that. Also, a barbecue for a year that is just exquisite from Oklahoma Joe's. Get signed up for that. Your stomach's growling.
It is. It smells. I can smell it.
I know. I can think of smelling it. It's phenomenal. It's going to go in next door here to Yowie's. Tosh tickets, Monster Jam tickets, Larry the Cable Guy tickets, gift cards to Single Barrel. The grand prize drawings will be happening the Monday night championship game, April 3rd. So get signed up for that. Come on down. Bud Light Specials, $2.99. As mentioned, happy hour still going till 6. But Bud Light draws all tournament long for $2.99. If you're a buckets guy, either on the hardwood or just you like ordering buckets with a table full of Buds, $16 Bud Light, 16-ounce buckets. Patio seating, it's not opened up and poured yet. It's funny, Junior's supposed to have baseball practice tonight, but he has a basketball game, so he's not going to go to baseball practice. I go out to plug my meter, look in the back seat of my car, what do I see? Well, there's baseball shoes in my back seat. I'm glad he picks up after himself.
Oh, absolutely. My wife says the same thing.
No, I got Mama and Junior that are just... Well, they're professional slobs, is all I'm going to say. Searles, there's a lot of Nebraska stuff to get into. We just talked a little about Tommy Armstrong, his transition. Pro Day, you were there for that. We talked quarterback styles in reference to Yankoff and his commitment to Washington and the fact that Riley has gained the trust of some of the athletes or the dual threat guys. Nebraska widening their net to want to go after guys that really are from running offenses where they throw and run about 50% of the time. So that's a good thing. Nebraska still has that ace up their sleeve, so to speak, with being quarterback whisperers, so to speak, with Langsdorf and Riley. But let's get into the Big Ten and winning that Big Ten championship. You had a rare opportunity. You were here. And you went Big 12 to Big 10.
Yep.
That was you. You played and started as such a young player. And listen, it wasn't easy. You guys made it look easy getting to that level. Nebraska now, you've been in the Big 10 for 6 years. You have Penn State has reemerged. Michigan has got Harbaugh. Urban is Urban.
Yep.
And you got Row the Boat up in Minnesota. Northwestern's been really good. In Wisconsin and Iowa both have been issues. The last 2 years, Wisconsin, since you moved in, okay? You're the last team. You were on that starting spot to beat Wisconsin.
Yep.
Okay? Answer me this here. When you look at winning the Big Ten, how do most teams do it? If you're to pick one reason why, a single reason, why do you win the Big Ten?
One reason. You run the ball and you stop the run.
It's around the running game.
100%. I mean, I don't care what level of football you're playing. You got to be able to run the ball, and you got to be able to stop the run in order to win games in general. I mean, it ends with that. Our coach preaches it to us nonstop, and I think that that's what's going to make Nebraska take the next step is they've started to really get away from what we were when we were here, which is the spread running game, to the power running game. And if you can get the power running game down, it starts wearing teams out. Look at what Wisconsin has done year after year after year. They line five guys up, and they run power right. They run power left. They pull a guard, and Melvin Ingram, or Melvin whatever his name is, runs for
Gordon.
400 yards, which I'll never forget. And so,
Did he rub that in when he got to the locker room in San Diego?
Of course. Yes, of course. He goes, dude, that was my coming out party. I was like, yeah, I know I was there. Like, I remember it distinctly. Worst loss of my career, but also one of my favorite moments of my career when we beat them in Lincoln that year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, if you look at teams like Iowa, good running game, solid quarterback play. Not outstanding. I mean, I don't know if you can name an outstanding quarterback from either Michigan or Iowa, or not Michigan. I mean, really, yeah, Michigan, Iowa. I mean, all these teams have great running games and just solid.
They've got guys just not screw it up.
Yeah, solid, no mistake quarterback play. So if you can, I think those are the two things. And then just stop the run on defense. Make them one-dimensional. Make them throw the ball to you. And you can drop. If you can, especially if you can stop the run with what they call a six-man box. If you don't always got to be dropping that safety down in and that leaves one guy out to dry at a high safety end, that's when you can start doing more things creatively, especially with this 3-4 scheme that we're pulling in.
Okay. So run game is the key ingredient to winning the Big Ten. I need to ask you, regarding there goes Nick. Nick Gregeth and Greg Smith are still here. That's a good thing. Okay, so you look at the run game portion of it. What are some other reasons? Why do you think Nebraska can win? We got in this discussion yesterday, and it's up on HaleVarsity.com Premium, reasons Nebraska can win the Big Ten. And I just kind of threw out there, here's some of my takes on that. Offensive line play, and it's not just the run game, but it's also protecting whoever wins the quarterback battle. That's point two. Whoever does win the quarterback battle is a difference maker in decision making and execution. Doesn't have to win it, but sure as hell can't lose it for you. Three is schedule. You have Northwestern. You have Wisconsin. You have Iowa, and you have Ohio State come to Lincoln. That's beneficial. You got to go to Penn State. That isn't fun. You got to go to Minnesota. But still, it's there for you. Diaco's defense is a difference maker in big plays and takeaways. You get both of those things active. And aside from Wisconsin, no one else in your league has seen a 3-4. Mm-hmm. And maybe your 3-4 is not what Wisconsin does. I don't think it is. In five, you say Penn State wins the East. You play Penn State late enough in the year that a rematch that soon could be advantageous. You'd rematch with Ohio State, theoretically, because you'll play them this year. You don't see Michigan, and if you get Michigan, listen, Harbaugh knows
how to win.
He knows how to win, but Riley knows Harbaugh about as well as Harbaugh knows Harbaugh.
That is very true.
So those are some of my reasons. What are some reasons you have that, hey, these guys can get it done, they can do it? I think it's a bit aggressive to expect a Big Ten championship this year. The schedule's brutal next year, but you could be loaded up for, God, I keep saying wait till next year. You could be loaded up for 18. As bad as your road schedule is, you could be loaded up with senior quarterbacks, senior line, year two in a defense. It could be okay for you, but your reasons.
Okay, so one reason, I'm going to go with my first reason, is the fact that the 3-4 scheme, it's an incredible scheme. If you can get 11 guys on the same page of a 3-4 scheme, it's incredibly hard to stop and incredibly hard to scheme against. Second, I think, is the comfortability of the system for offensively.
Okay.
Granted, it's a new quarterback, but you've got guys coming back that are running the same route tree. You got guys coming back that know the run game.
2-3.
Still, it's better than.
I will shut up.
It's better than starting all over.
Okay.
And I mean, even if it was last year, some guys were back. I mean, it's still, you have a group there that's seen what you want. I think that another reason is going to be, like you said, I will agree with you, the home schedule, getting those teams into Memorial Stadium is huge. Because I don't care if you're Alabama, you walk into that stadium, like, you get a little extra oomph being the Husker.
There's an edge.
There is a 100% edge when you run through that tunnel and you've got 80 or 90,000 now screaming for you. So the home field advantage is huge. Another reason is I think the youngness of this team might propel them into the us against the world, no one thinks we can do it mentality. I mean, we got a new quarterback, we got a new scheme, no one's giving us a shot. Everyone's thinking, like you just said, next year. Like, well, why not us this year?
The disrespect.
Yeah, the disrespect. The why
Does
not?
Does that wear you out?
It doesn't. I personally use it as a motivational factor. I mean, all right, don't believe in me. I'll do it. I mean, he's too small. Oh, he's too big. Oh,
okay.
And so I think that the disrespect factor might be, if you have the right leadership, can spin it.
Okay.
And then I think the young leaders as well are getting one more year. And then they'll really be that leader in 2018. But if they can step into that leadership role early, like a Nate Gary did, like a Westerkamp did, like a Tommy, those junior captains, so to speak, mm-hmm. I think they can lead this team. Because one of the questions, I took the State of Husker Nation quiz, and one of them was, who is the face of the Husker program?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think right now, you said Stanley, I believe. I say Nick Gates.
Okay.
Because so much scrutiny was thrown at that kid because of the Tennessee game. So, I mean, all eyes are going to be on him.
Barnett's going
first round.
20th
he's
overall.
He's going first round. But everyone looked at him and go, Nick Gates. And so I think he uses that. And
can you put into words what it's like to go up against dudes like that? Because you see him every Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, and I can put into words what Nick Gates went through.
Okay.
So I'm a redshirt freshman playing Missouri. Aldis Smith lined up across from me. I mean, sixth overall pick in the draft.
This is before he went sideways.
Yeah, this is before he went crazy and thought you could bring a gun into an airport. But besides the point, I can remember.
You getting, can't in Missouri?
Especially not San Francisco.
I know.
And so I can remember lining up against him and being like, oh my gosh, like, this guy's amazing. This guy's really good. 3 weeks later, fast forward, I'm lining up against a guy named Von Miller against Texas A&M.
Right.
And so, I mean, it was a great benchmark for me. It was a great, okay, if I want to play at the next level, I know it's going to be dudes like this inside and out every single day. And so I think for him, he found that benchmark. He found that if I'm going to play the next level, I'm going to elevate my game. And he might not see a guy like Derek Barnett again until they play, I mean, I mean, until they play someone like that. I mean, that's not a guy that comes around all the time. But if he can use that as a learning curve, I think Nick Gates can be the face of the offense with this quarterback controversy, not controversy, competition.
Sure.
But I think that while that's going on, if Nick Gates can be the face of this offense, that's great. Stanley Morgan, another guy that's going to really step up. But then you're still looking for that face of the defense. Who's going to step up in this 3-4 scheme and say, you know what, I can do that? And my dark horse, Stollenberg.
You think Mick could do it?
I think he could, just watching the way the guy works.
How much crossover did you have with Mick?
I don't think I had any, honestly.
Because he was just coming in.
He was just coming in when I was out. But I've watched him play. I've watched how he works. And I've watched the way he communicates. Just being around him at the facility. And I love the kid. I mean, I don't know the kid from Adam, really, on a personal level. But just as a football level, I love the kid and the way he works. And being in a 3-4 system, you got to have a nose that can hold his own. Because if a nose can tie up that center and plug up that middle and allow those two linebackers that are sitting in between those guys to run rampant, it's great. So I think he can be a guy that really steps up this year and takes that next step and be the face of the defense on that front seven.
That's a great call, and he's got to anchor it. You've got young pups and the Davises that will elevate their play, but are they ready to take that responsibility? Mick's been here. At linebacker, I like Weber a lot.
Yep.
He's a smart football player. You got a good linebacking core. You got a deep core. You got some young pups that are athletic. But Aaron Williams has been getting a lot of love based on how he can, well, A, he knows what everyone else is supposed to do, but B, he's been playing good ball. And I think he's a – give me a thought on a guy that was pretty big time, but he seems to – I don't want to say continue to get forgotten about or disrespected, but there's just some – uncertainty on him based on other guys mentioned at his spot, even though he started Kyron Williams. Kyron's been there for
Talking about it the other day. Where I was like, dude, I feel like Kyron's been there like before I was there. Me and Butch were talking about it. Like, he was there before I was there, and he's still there.
Yeah, but senior to be, but he led the team in picks last year, and he's really good.
Another guy that I think gets forgot about is Kalu.
Yeah, I mean, they're thinking of him.
Yes.
But I'm saying they're thinking about they're experimenting. They're
just, it's spring ball. They got all their candy stores open, and they're throwing guys around.
So, but you go from Kalu to safety because you want more speed in the secondary, and Lamar's fast.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so you have that. Okay, fine. But what about Kai? You had Aaron Williams, good. Smart player, all good. Why is Kai having to continue to, and you want this, but why is he... Why is this his spot? Why is it always up for grabs?
I don't know. I've thought about that, too. And I think it's just because the players they keep bringing in are just good quality players.
You went through it, too, with the Moore kid. Unbelievable high-profile dude. And
comes in and challenges.
And you started
challenges
the previous year. Right.
Yeah, I mean, he came in right away, and he challenges you. And I think, Kieran's got a nice job of not letting it affect him. He just keeps coming. He keeps bringing his lunch pail to work. I know everyone hates the lunch pail guy, but he is. He's a lunch pail guy. He shows up. He does his job. He works hard, and it's paid off for him. I mean, it's absolutely paid off for him. Like you said, led the team in picks. He's a defensive guy that people trust, and I think that he's going to find a way to earn the respect from these coaches that they're going to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can trust the
guy, it's a new safety coach, and it's a new corner coach.
I mean, it's clean slate.
And this is his 75th secondary coach.
I mean, it's his 75th year in the Huskers, so I think he'll be okay.
Kyron Williams. I had to ask about him because all he does is just goes out there and plays. He took over a pretty big leadership role last year.
Especially with Nate missing a few games.
Yeah.
He did a nice job of coming in there, and there wasn't a huge drop-off when you saw Nate not being back there. I mean, he did a nice job filling in for there. And so I think that if he can continue to grow off of that and continue to work through that, then he can become that solidified guy.
Well, emotionally, he was so keyed in for the Wisconsin game. He was the vocal leader that game. He was all over it, made some plays at the end of the Oregon game, too.
Yep.
Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt, we're here at Yowie's. March to Prize Madness, come on down. Bud Light specials galore, Sweet 16 tips off in about 45 minutes. Brandon Vogel, up next, we'll talk State of Husker Nation, next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Well, we have a Dancing Searles down here at Yowie's, 8th and Q in the Haymarket, and our old boy Mike Leach, he's not a dancer.
No?
No. It scarred him, quite honestly, is the way he put it. But he was great at dodgeball. I have a feeling that a guy who could hold his own in dodgeball joins us now, Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. At Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how we doing?
I'm doing well. You know, Mike Leach and I did not grow up that far apart, so we also had the strange thing where he had to dance in PE class. But the good days were, of course, the dodgeball days. So I knew where those were the best.
And well, Coach Leach can be with us next week, and this is just perfect to get set up and talk to him about, because why talk football? I mean, we talk Breaking Bad and dirt clod wars and Roman candle fights with him in Cuba. We can talk anything but football. But no, I mean, was your town, and I guess I should ask him, I always think of the movie Footloose, like the original. It's kind of like the area you guys grew up in where dancing was questionable. That's a veiled shot. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay. It was close. It wasn't quite that conservative, but you're on the right track. I'll say that. not drastically different from, I think that took place in Indiana.
I thought it was Utah.
No, I think it was Indiana, but maybe it was Utah.
Well, in Searles is like, there's an original Footloose. What?
Hey, easy. I know who Kevin Bacon is.
I you know, from Wild Things.
From Tremors.
You one-up me there in bad 80s flicks times two. All right, let's talk State of Husker Nation, Vogues. Folks can log on HailVarsity.com and go through it. We want to hear your reaction, your outlook on 2017. Vogues, what are some things you're interested in seeing results-wise? I mean, this poll will go for a while, but it gets kind of down to the expectation and questions.
Yeah, it does. You know, so this is our third year of doing it, and I think that's what I'm most excited about, is to sort of have multiple years of comparing results against one another. So the first time we did this, you know, it kind of came about because it was Mike Riley's first year. And, you know, in our internal meetings, we're talking about, okay, well, what are the expectations here? What do Husker fans feel about this team and this program? We're like, well, why don't we just ask them? So we did. So you've got some questions that are carryovers from year before, just because we want the same data to match up against previous years. Other ones are a little bit new. You know, we've got a question in there for Run the Ball Guy, who's sort of developed a personality of his own and things like that. There's a question in there about Diaco, which will be interesting to see, just because nobody's really seen him coach yet, and he won't have a chance to see Nebraska's defense under Diaco play a game. So I think there's a lot of potentially interesting data points that can come from this.
Yeah, I mean, I actually had a chance to take one of the greatest questions that really makes you think is, I touched on it last segment, the face of the Husker program. And, folks, who do you, if you can put a finger on it, who do you think at this point, I mean, going through the 2017 spring ball, who is the face of this Husker football program right now?
Yeah, it's a really tough one to answer. That's another one that came sort of directly from a, you know, staff conversation or staff meeting. I'm trying to remember who I voted for. I might have voted for Mick Stoltenberg. When you look at sort of the guy who I think has a chance to have a pretty big season, he's being asked to make the defensive transition like all those guys are over there, and is sort of an in-state kid, which always gives him a little bit of a boost. But, you know, you can make a case for Chris Jones, Joshua Kalu as two senior leaders. I think Chris Weber at linebacker is going to be another one who has a pretty big season and sort of feels like a rock for them. Now, you know, so none of those guys are on offense because Nebraska has a lot of change going on there. Even up front on the offensive line where they returned four or five starters, they've got the potential for some pretty serious position battles. So identifying a guy on that side is tough. In the past, you know, it hasn't been that way when you just look at Nebraska's quarterback, Amir, Jeremiah Searles, guys like that. You sort of have an immediate idea.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. State of Husker Nation poll. Go there now, HailVarsity.com. It'll take you a couple of minutes. Read through it. Give us your thoughts, your honest feelings. Vogue's minimum requirement for success is what? Nine or more wins, conference championship, division championship. You look at the schedule and you realize that maybe the injury bug bites a second year in a row, so you're good with seven wins. No one's ever good with seven wins, but you can rationalize it. What do you say on this one?
I think division title, you know, it's been since 2012, since Nebraska's gotten that. You look at recruiting and the resources, of course, they're favorably positioned to be in that mix every year. And then, you know, things like you mentioned, injuries, you just catch a bad break, they kind of pop up and can derail that. So I think that's sort of the starting point I think of with Nebraska right now in the Big Ten. Is you've got to be in division title contention for sure, but it's also, you know, time to start winning a couple of those.
I mean, so division title A is the first step, but I mean, how far away do you think we are from winning division to conference? Because I think the conference title game is just the East, in my opinion, is so much more adept to winning those conference games.
They're better.
I mean, they're just all around better, and they're deep. I mean, how far away is the West? Or say Nebraska does win the West. What do they have to do to make that jump to compete with the East?
Well, I think it's the first thing that comes to mind is the talent gap is the thing that seems the biggest between East and West right now. Just when you look at sort of recruiting rankings and those sorts of things. But I think the beauty of a divisional setup is if you get there, it's just one game. Like, and anything can kind of happen in one game. You've seen some pretty lopsided results for the East Division. You think about 2 years ago, last year was a pretty good game. But, you know, once you get to that stage, I feel like you've already cleared a pretty significant hurdle. Then it becomes just go out and play. You don't have to deal with a lot of historical stuff that Nebraska's dealing with, the sort of pressure to get that division title, to be better than Iowa and Wisconsin, both in the same season. So once you get there, I actually like, and I think this is a little bit of a trait of Mike Riley, I like their chances in that one-game scenario.
I agree with you. He could get it done for that one game, get the players up, and go out and put an amazing game plan together. Vogues, when you look at the West in Wisconsin, 3 years removed from annihilation by a national champion Buckeyes team, but you've had some teams singe those Eastern Division teams that are supposed to be unbeatable. Iowa got Michigan in a defensive struggle. I know Penn State's in the East, but they were not thought of as being the second coming yet. Until they beat Ohio State, they got it handled. Wisconsin has played, I should say, Minnesota's played Ohio State better, arguably, than anybody in the league. So the West it's not Grand Canyon time. When you look at Nebraska, though, what trait do they have to have, or has championship teams had in the Big Ten? I mean, Searle said it was run game. Do you agree with that, or do you have another thought?
Yeah, I think I agree with that, but I think it probably starts with the offensive line, and Nebraska's had some pretty good ones. You're still looking for, I think, at least in the past couple of years in the Riley era, for Nebraska to have one of those top three or four offensive lines in the conference when you get down to it. Because when you start to look at Iowa and Wisconsin, they don't have the sort of perimeter athletes that those elite teams do in the East, but in the trenches, they more than hold their own, and they'll get into a slugfest, and they'll be okay with that. I think that's something Nebraska sort of needs to get to. I think they have a chance to get there this year. You know, Chris, you posted a great question on the message board yesterday at HailVarsity.com about, and talked about on the show, you know, five reasons if Nebraska were to win, here's five things that would probably need to happen. Win the Big Ten, that is. And I put offensive line as my number two. Like, if Nebraska has a top three or four offensive line in the country, then I think you're really seriously in contention.
Agree with you there, Vogues. Let's talk quarterback for a minute and shift to that position group. And Colson Yankoff is a Husky for now. We'll see if that stays. Do you like Riley being flexible with the style of quarterback he's going after?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a pretty interesting career turning point. I don't know that you know, 3 years ago when he came to Nebraska, you would have assumed that was the case. So that kind of tells you a little bit something about maybe what this coaching staff with a lot of experience learned from having Tommy Armstrong and what he is able to do and the way he is able to challenge defenses, what that told them about coaching football. And in, I think it's a credit to those guys, given the number of years they have under their belt, that they're still sort of willing to rethink those things and look for a better way to do it. I don't know if, you know, a pure running quarterback is probably ever in the cards for this staff, but they at least liked enough of what they saw from Tommy to give it a second look. And, you know, it's one of those first things you hear anytime you talk to football coaches is like, what's one of the biggest challenges? And they're like, it's a quarterback who can run. And not necessarily a quarterback who is the pure running quarterback that you may think of, but the really good passer who can hurt you, who can pop you for 12 or 15 yards if you don't account for him, is often just dangerous. And I think that would really be sort of the ideal quarterback for this system.
Well, I'm looking right now as we're here at Yowie's 8th and Q in the Haymarket, getting you ready for the Sweet 16, March to Prime's Madness. Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles, Brandon Vogel with us. I'm staring at Deshaun Watson right now on ESPN, and the guy is so good. He'll roll out, he'll throw, he can get through progressions, although when they went tempo, it was kind of signaled to him where to go with the ball. But he has shown the ability to have a good progression and then processing chip, for lack of a better term, to find open guys. That's what you want, isn't it, Votes? To go find that guy that's a thrower first and then kind of a scrambler second, but he has that Joe Gans ability. Because that's what I think of with Gansy, is Joe was able to just get out of trouble and move around.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I think that is sort of the perfect fit for here. And I think that's a legitimate question for Nebraska going into this season. We all kind of think that the type of quarterback Nebraska has on the roster now more traditionally fits what Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf have done in the past. But, you know, if they're not able to hurt teams, you know, pull the ball down and run when they have to, sort of run efficiently, to go back to the phrase we always use with running backs, that puts a lot more pressure on the offensive line. That could be trouble.
Vogues, you're awesome. Thanks for doing what you do, man. We'll catch up soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Get to HaleVarsity.com and vote in the State of Husker Nation poll.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here we are at Yowie's for March to Prize Madness. Nathan Q in the Haymarket, Yowie's, your headquarters for the March to Prize Madness. A Sweet 16 getting rocking. The biggest Jayhawk fan I know, I thought would be down in Kansas City, but, well, she's saving it for maybe a Final Four run. Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2. Deb, how are you?
I'm good. I thought I'm bad luck down there last time, so I stayed home this time.
So out of respect for the program, you are staying 2.5-3 hours away.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the plan.
I got to ask you. So you'll be watching KU tonight, Deb, and it'll be a party down there. Can you find a hot tub the size to fit five guys who wear purple? And what I mean by that, Viking linemen. Jeremiah Searles is sitting with me. Do you have a hot tub at Home Innovation Spas that can fit NFL dudes?
Yes, we've got one actually in our own backyard here that's 15 feet long, 9 feet wide. So I think I could fit them all in that one.
I'd love to try it sometime, Deb. I might have to come down and like hang out in one before we buy one.
Okay, it's a deal. You'll be sold.
I'm in. Count me in. On the way.
Let's just make sure it's cold water we pour in there, Deb. Let's just mess with him. Deb, the spa lady's with us. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. SpasOnline.com. Deb, what else do we got going at Home Innovation Spas? Is you're watching basketball. You're locked in, but folks are thinking about adding that spa for the spring and beyond.
Well, yeah, this weather is so crazy. You're either out there, you know, getting your backyard ready for spring and you've got a backache, or you're out playing golf and or anything, or maybe you're going to be scooping snow, heaven forbid, hopefully not now for a while, but all of those things. So you can use a spa for anything like that and just have family time. It's a great way to get the family together in one place and actually have some conversation.
Is there a way you can fit beer in there, too? Is there like a
floating remote?
Is there a
floating remote? There might be. I can't condone that.
Well, we can tell you Deb will be at 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, spasonline.com. And we invite you to go see her with Home Innovation Spas. Deb, good luck to your Jayhawks tonight.
Okay, we'll talk next week.
That'll be great. And Deb will be going, yes, it's the Elite Eight and my Jayhawks are there. Listen, is there, with the tournament, is there a program that there's that arm wrestling match between heart and head?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it for you?
Kansas.
It is.
It for me, I mean, I love, they're always good. I mean, they're always good, but they're always so good that you're like, do I pick Kansas to win it again? I mean, for like, you know what I mean?
You never pick them because they don't follow through.
I know. That's the thing. But it's always is this the year? Like, is this the year that you finally pick Kansas? Or is it the year that you don't pick Kansas?
I got them going.
You know, I got them going, too. But I have them losing.
So, it's like, yeah, so
it's
do
that,
I.
It's that constant, like, is this the year that Kansas? Yeah, who you have them losing to again? Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Duke. Oh, yeah. Anyways, so, I mean, it's just like that.
You picked Duke a couple of years ago, didn't you?
When they won it.
Yeah. You and Jay both, like, have twisted me.
Oh, it's not hard to do. You just poke, turn. You're easy to just push over the edge sometimes. It's like Inception. You just get in your ear, you're like, Kansas. Kansas, dude. Next thing you know, you're wearing blue. It's so easy, Schmidt. But, I mean, it's definitely Kansas. And then another one is, I don't know why, but I've always loved Xavier. And, like, they're never usually, like, the four seed.
Can I tell you
like
a little story about a team named Xavier?
Please do.
Once upon a time, there was a basketball program that had minimally been to the NCAA tournament. And 1991 happened with Danny Nee, who would bring Budweiser to his radio shows. Danny Nee had a team that had just gotten rocked the year before, 12-18. He had a bunch of juniors and seniors from all over, freshmen waiting named Pytkowski and Chubbuck. Seniors like Bo Reed, Clifford Scales, Keith Moody. Nebraska was insanely talented that year. Finished second in the Big Eight, second in the Big Eight tournament. Nebraska basketball was a 3 seed.
Okay.
And then Xavier happens as a 14 seed. They win by 5. They break a little boy's heart. There is Xavier. A guy named Tyrone Hill, who played in the NBA for 1,000 years, was some guy you never heard of, Pete Gillen, looked like he was the coach. Pete Gillen was beaten in the face by pineapples and has red hair and should be wearing a green hat. Okay?
Okay.
So that's why nobody in this state ever, above the age of 30, picks Xavier.
See, I don't even think I was around yet.
You weren't.
No, I was still cooking. I was still cooking when Xavier beat Nebraska. So
1991. Never again
never
will you pick Xavier.
Again. Well,
can't
now I know.
Do it.
See, I needed a history lesson from you old guys.
Experienced.
Seasoned.
Seasoned
vet.
Broken.
There you go.
So, no, Xavier can't win tonight. Never can win.
So, I have a hard time also. I have a hard time drinking the Kool-Aid of Duke sometimes. I know I picked them a few years ago, but, like, they're another one that every year you could be like, Duke could win it.
You
this
want them
year.
To lose, though.
But they're the team.
Always.
They're the team you love to hate. I mean, you love to watch them play. Like,
we got Duke in college.
Yep.
You have the Yankees.
Yep.
In Major League Baseball.
You got the Packers in the NFL. I mean, that might just be me.
You don't like my Packer green coat?
No, it's gross. Okay, I'll retract. You got the Patriots. You've got the Patriots in the NFL. Everyone loves to hate the Patriots, and you got Alabama in college football.
See, the world now will shift, though, because Rex is on New England.
Yeah, well, this whole state is now a Patriots. Everyone
Central.
In the state's Patriots Central.
Between him and Vince?
Yeah, mostly Rex.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Everyone loves a good Vince, nice big fella. But you got Rex. I mean, how are you going to – I mean, the state used to bleed orange for Rex when he was with the Bengals, and now they'll just shift.
Yeah.
A little farther east.
Okay.
Which is great for him, by the way. I mean, so proud of that kid.
See, Notre Dame ass tweets in, I effing hate Xavier. He knows your pain.
I'm sorry.
That's why no one can ever pick Xavier.
Where are they at? Who'd they beat? That's probably why. You're probably bitter that my wife was bitter that I picked Xavier. She's like, oh, how'd you know that? And I was like, I didn't know. I guessed. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I went through my bracket like 40 minutes before the first game
started. X
does
not mark the spot.
Oh, I like it. Did you just think of that one?
No.
No?
No.
You always?
Got it right here. Searles, we're winding down. I'm going to get you a menu here at Yowie's. Their ribeye is phenomenal. Junior loves the salmon down here. Yeah, I get my kids weird. The eyes you just gave me.
Salmon?
Yeah, it's salmon Oscar. It's really good.
Okay.
I mean, salmon's eh, if you're into salmon. what else do they have? They have some shrimp that's fantastic.
Dude,
and Bud Light specials, $2.99.
That's right. I need at least one beer from here.
I'm giving you many more than that. So we're winding down. Yowie's March to Prize Madness. Come on down. Sweet 16's tipping off shortly here today, tomorrow, 3 to 6. Hail Varsity continues after this.
Catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Come on down. Sweet 16 is shortly about to tip off here. March to Prize Madness. Yowie's 8th and Q in the Haymarket. Come on down and check out the food and drink specials, Bud Light goodies, and your chance to qualify for the 55-inch LG Smart TV and barbecue for a year from the great folks, Oklahoma Joe's. I can't listen. You're ineligible. You co-hosted now. Jeremiah Searles, Husker great and Minnesota Viking, has been kind enough to sit in. Other things that you can win: tickets to Tosh, Larry the Cable Guy, single barrel gift cards, overhead door, garage door opener, $100 gift card to Slim Chickens, and that Bud Light gear. Note to self, $2.99 Bud Light draws all tournament long. $16 Bud Light 16-ounce buckets. So I know you're getting off work. I know it's not technically the weekend yet. You kind of move that weekend thing to Friday when you have a kid and get married. If you're single and young, God love you, you can count Thursday as the weekend. So we invite you to Yowie's 8th and Q for the upcoming tip-off here, March to Prize Madness and Sweet 16 rocking. And how about this wall of TVs, Searles? Does it look like your future basement?
I hope so. So we did just buy a house.
Hey, props to you.
I just sold
one.
Hey, there you go. 84th Highway.
That's where I'm moving, to your basement.
Yep, so we're over there down on the south side where the air is cleaner, I'm told. And so we moved down.
Is that a shot at the at Mama Schmidt?
No, that's a shot at the Penzic.
Cole
Penzic. He used to get in a battle with Jake Cotton.
Well, yes. You got Northeast and Southeast.
You got North. And so the Jake was always like, yeah, the air is just cleaner down there. Just so.
Wow.
So that just had
so Penzic's reaction was what?
Well, the real people live north. He says the real Nebraskans live up north.
So that's
and Jake would always fire back, well, I mean, he doesn't really call Nebraska home because he's a all-around kid, so he doesn't really know where home is. He still doesn't really know where home is. But yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping this is what the basement looks like. We actually walked through it the other day, and we were trying to figure out where the couch goes where.
Sure.
And that's the hardest thing.
So is it going to be a house or a cabin if you put woodwork in it?
It's a house. It's always going to be a house because a cabin has no
live bears.
It has. You have a chance of dying in a cabin. That's where I'm going to draw the line. There's a chance that something happens at a cabin, either wildlife, power goes out, your generator runs
Chainsaw,
out of gas.
Freddie or Jason show up.
Something happens. You live in a mansion. It's not a cabin.
Okay.
One more stab at Watt before I get off the air.
That's fine. Hey, you're welcome back when you get back next week.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm gone for a week, heading to California and then heading to Minnesota and check in back up there before I head right back up there.
How many shots would you make? Papa Shot is down here too.
Ooh.
So Junior, he has a game tonight, but he would monitor intake with patrons and then, hey, I'll play you for a buck.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
Oh, look
already,
at him.
He's already doing that.
He'd be a pool shark before you know it.
Yeah, that or two broken legs real quick.
Yeah. He's going to be like, hey, I'm first time. It's my first time. I've never
forgot
really
shot what
before.
You No, I like it. So big thanks to you for coming out of Yowie's. Want to see you down here, too, if you're getting off work. As TJ Henning rocked it back at the station, we appreciate you. And we will talk to you again next time tomorrow here at Yowie's, 3 to 6. Searles, you're awesome, brother. Good
hey,
to see you. Thanks for everything, man.
Can't wait to be back.
Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt. We'll talk to you again next time on Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.